and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. A quick program note, we'll be speaking with Hawaii Attorney General Doug Chin at the half hour. Now, in 2014 and 2015, Hawaii ocean researchers witnessed an unprecedented level of coral bleaching. West Hawaii Island and southwestern Maui had the deepest losses. This month, the state Department of Land and Natural Resources, Division of Aquatic Resources, announced its first ever coral recovery plan. It centers on two approaches, establishing a network of permanent no-take marine protected areas and a network of herbivore fishery management areas. Dr. Bruce Anderson is the administrator of the Department of Land and Natural Resources Division of Aquatic Resources, and he joins us now by phone. Aloha. Thank you for the time.
Hi, Beth Ann. Glad to talk about this.
So how will the state establish that network of a permanent no-take marine fishing or protecting areas and also that network of fishery management areas? Where will they be?
That's certainly one of the top strategies. And actually, we're looking more at a network of marine managed areas, which would allow for some fishing activities. But the important thing is that we have a well-designed network of managed areas that work together and optimize the protection of our natural resources and also the fishery. And that's certainly a challenge. We're looking at that as a long-term project, but we also have a number of other things that we're planning in the short run that would be, I think, also effective in addressing some of the issues associated with coral bleaching. Simply putting out rules in the near future to limit or ban the taking of parrotfish, for example, would probably be the single most important thing we could do. And that doesn't take years to do. It can be done through the normal rulemaking process. Night spearing and other activities, which also are reducing the herbivore population, may also help to help our reefs to recover and make them more resilient.
But if those two key parts to this plan, as you say, take a great deal of time to develop, there are some who might be concerned that this is insufficient to be able to meet such an intense problem that is worsening so quickly.
Well, it's certainly a challenge. There's no question we're going to have new and probably more serious bleaching events in the future. Last year, 2016, wasn't as bad as 2014 and 15 when we lost over 50% of our reefs. That's a lot and a serious impact. Last year, the water was a little cooler than it was the previous 2 years. This coming year, in fact, this coming summer, they're predicting warmer temperatures again, and of course that'll translate to warmer seawater temperatures, and I'm afraid we may see some renewed bleaching in those areas you mentioned. West Hawaii, south of the leeward side of Maui, Kaneohe Bay, and North Kauai were the areas most severely impacted, and probably would again be impacted, but there's no area that isn't going to be impacted to some degree.
That's all sounding so horrible for people who have already heard that 50% of the reefs have been lost. To think about additional loss is truly unthinkable, but we all have to think about this in terms of what can be done, as you say, near-term and long-term. But what do you say to some in the research community who might feel that some of this is just sounding too passive, especially, you know, given some of the information that we heard earlier this year that the Great Barrier Reef, for example, is far more damaged than was originally thought? And here we already have these stunning statistics about our own reefs. Is there anything that's much more aggressive that might be brought into play more immediately?
Actually, Hawaii has, I think, led the world in many respects in dealing with this issue. In many places, the resource managers are simply wringing their hands, not knowing what to do. And meanwhile, the reefs continue to be bleached. The management actions are going to depend on circumstances in a specific area. It's not a one-size-fits-all situation. This is a worldwide crisis, and things that work in the Caribbean or Great Reef aren't things that are going to work here. So it's going to be important to tailor the management strategies to address local concerns.
protection is good, and clearly everything in that step is going to be important. What about some of the proactive regeneration techniques that we've heard about?
Yeah, we actually have a coral nursery at Anuenue Fisheries, which is off Sand Island, and we're growing corals that are hopefully going to be more resilient to bleaching. The science of outplanting corals is still very new, and very few projects have actually been successful, but we're trying those. We're doing what everyone is talking about doing and aggressively moving in that direction. In Kanyoi Bay, we recently did some things that I don't know anyone else is doing anywhere. We used the Super Sucker, actually, Nature Conservancy, DAR, and others collaborated on this project, but we used essentially a large vacuum cleaner to vacuum off the invasive algae on the patch reefs in Kanyoi. And then we grew sea urchins at our hatchery at Anuenue, hundreds of thousands of these sea urchins, and put them on the patch reefs so that they would munch down the algae that was left. And today, we're seeing those reefs clear of algae. Algae is the biggest problem, probably, with resiliency. Once the reefs are bleached, if they don't recover, it's natural that algae grows over the dead coral. This happens everywhere. And that prevents new coral polyps from settling on the coral. By the way, the reason that parrotfish are so important is because they have a habit of eating. They're scrapers or excavators when they eat. They actually take off the surface of the coral, dead coral, with algae and leave a denuded surface where new coral polyps can settle and grow. Of all the fish out there, those are the most important. And they're big, they eat lots of algae, and they're critically important in the health of reefs. This has been shown around the world. So I would expect our new rules are going to focus a lot on trying to protect the herbivore population.
And when do you expect parrotfish? I'm sorry, we're going to have to go in just a minute, but when do you expect that those rules might be released? And also, how will the progress on the plan be monitored?
Well, I'm guessing we'll be going forward with some rules this summer. There'll be informational meetings, of course, as they usually are. And we're going to be monitoring our reefs. We've been doing this for years. But that monitoring will continue. And keep our fingers crossed. It's not as bad as I made it sound. But if it's not this next summer, it's going to happen. The water's warming, and we need to do what we can to address the issue.
It's not sounding good, that's for sure. Thanks very much for the time today.
Thank you for calling.
Dr. Bruce Anderson is the administrator of the Department of Land and Natural Resources, Division of Aquatic Resources. You can find a link to the Coral Bleaching Recovery Plan on our website and Facebook page, The Conversation.